This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Off-Season Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base to Gonzalez and makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massé.
Welcome to Off-Season Dodger Talk. We are with you until 8 o'clock tonight, our final off-season Dodger Talk of 2017. We're not on next week, but I will be filling in for the great Petros and Money next Tuesday afternoon from 2 to 6:30. Petros and Money will be going on vacation after tomorrow's show. And wow, what are we going to do without Petros and Money? What are we going to do without Ohtani or Notani? What are we going to do about Mr. Bolt? I mean, what are we going to do? Randy Macho Man Savage, how will we live without them for a week? But we will have to learn to. But they're back tomorrow, and you'll have the best of Petros and Money in the final hour tomorrow as well before they go on vacation. We have some fake news dropped on Twitter tonight regarding some baseball fake news. And also, a former UCLA Bruin is in the sights of the New York Yankees. We'll fill you in on that. And coming up in our next segment at 7:15 tonight, you will hear from Chris Taylor. He will be joining us from his off-season home in Virginia Beach, and he'll check in with us about his season, which was a spectacular season, his breakout season, and what he's looking forward to for 2018. Also, if we have time, we'll hear from DJ Peters. I had a chance to catch up with him at Dodger Stadium earlier in the week. As you know, he is the Dodgers, or one of the Dodgers' top outfield prospects, 27 home runs last year at Rancho Cucamonga. He will start 2018 in Tulsa at Double A. So DJ Peters from Glendora High School out there is on the fast track to the major leagues, I'll tell you that. And I really enjoyed talking to him, so hopefully we have time to share that conversation with you. Now, this is the first show that we've had since the Dodgers' five-player trade with the Atlanta Braves that sent Brandon McCarthy, Scott Kazmir, Adrian Gonzalez, and Charlie Culberson to Atlanta in return for former Dodger Matt Kemp. And it's been dissected. You've heard me on the airwaves and on Twitter and everybody else. This was a financial move. This was to help the Dodgers get underneath that $197 million luxury tax threshold to help reset that repeater tax that they've been incurring since 2013 when they made that big trade with the Boston Red Sox and brought on Hanley Ramirez and all those other guys and continued to build talent and depth at the same time. And now the Dodgers are trying to reset, hopefully, because they're trying to reset to pursue some free agents in next year's winter, where it is the best free agent class that I can remember in a very long time. I mentioned this a few weeks ago, and now it's started to pick up steam after some of the moves the Yankees and Dodgers have made. You're looking at one of the more star-studded free agent classes next winter than we've ever seen before in Major League Baseball. One group of elite players all on the open market, and you started second base with Brian Dozier and Daniel Murphy. Then you move to the hot corner. Josh Donaldson, Manny Machado will be free agents. The outfield will have guys like Adam Jones, Andrew McCutchen, A.J. Pollock, Charlie Blackman, Bryce Harper, who is the prize of that class. And then as the starting pitchers go, you got guys like Dallas Keuchel, Adam Wainwright, Drew Pomeranz. David Price likely will opt out of his contract. And also, oh yeah, Clayton Kershaw can opt out of the final 2 years of his contract that will pay him $65 million. So if Kershaw stays healthy, there's a very good chance he opts out. And the relief pitching core of free agents is pretty impressive as well, led by Craig Kimbrell, Andrew Miller, Kelvin Herrera, Cody Allen, and Brad Bock. So hopefully this means the Dodgers are looking towards then. But also, too, they've gotten the payroll, and it's been reported by Eric Steven of True Blue LA and also the Associated Press. Their targeted opening day payroll this year, or payroll this season in 2018, is somewhere between $175 million and $181 million. And obviously, that gives them still some wiggle room to make a trade at the deadline to add some more payroll and stay below that $197 million mark. Now, this is the biggest question. With the Dodgers and all the coverage they've gotten to reset their luxury tax threshold penalties and get under that so they're not repeater offenders, and the Yankees and what they've done, what are your expectations for the Dodgers next offseason? Are you expecting Bryce Harper? Is this what the expectations have been set at for you as Dodger fans with the way the coverage has been and the way the Dodgers have been basically given a big pat on the back for getting underneath that luxury tax threshold to hopefully pursue some of these free agents next year? So are your expectations Bryce Harper or nothing else? I look at it a different way. Yes, Bryce Harper definitely should be in play for the Dodgers next year. But also, too, if they decide to go a different route and not go for Bryce Harper and kind of spread their eggs in different baskets, I'm okay with that, too. If they can add in different areas, that is something that would be satisfactory if you're a Dodger fan. I don't think it's Bryce Harper or bust next offseason, but I believe the way the media has covered this, they have set your expectations pretty high that Bryce Harper is going to be here in Los Angeles next year. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. And I kind of liken this to the LeBron James to the Lakers for the last, 5 years? We've heard LeBron's coming to the Lakers. Everybody's looking towards the summer and LeBron maybe coming to L.A. He took a tour of my old high school, Notre Dame High School, to find a place for his kid to go to school next year. So all arrows are kind of trending that way. But I feel like the Bryce Harper thing is going to be out there for the entire year. And everybody's going to link him to either the Dodgers or the Yankees. And rightfully so. How many teams out there have the payroll flexibility to be able to afford a player like Bryce Harper? So he better be prepared for the fact that this will hang over him and his team in Washington, D.C. the entire year. And he could give the no comment. He could try to, downplay it. But the fact is, everybody's expectations now are that the Dodgers and Yankees are going to pursue Bryce Harper. Even though the Yankees got Giancarlo Stanton, it seems like everybody is fixated that the Yankees are going to try to pursue Manny Machado and or Bryce Harper, and that the Dodgers are going to pursue Bryce Harper next year for being under the luxury tax threshold. So what are your expectations as far as that goes? 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Now, everybody was excited about Matt Kemp and the prospects of him coming back to L.A., closing out his career, maybe having some sort of renaissance to his career that has seen him kind of get old quickly ever since he left the Dodgers. And from what I understand, he's starting to get it through his head that you have to take care of your body as you get older. You can't put the same things in your body that you did before. You can't eat the same way is what I'm talking about. We all know that. I'm figuring that out myself. And I think athletes, you hear them talk about it all the time, that you can't eat the same way as you did as you were 22. Kobe Bryant used to say after practice he'd stop by McDonald's and get chicken McNuggets and quarter pounders and all that stuff. And he finally came to understand that you can't eat that way. And I believe, from what I understand, talking to friends of Matt Kemp, he is starting to understand that. And from what I understand, has gotten into better shape for next year. But that doesn't matter. The chances of him playing for the Dodgers are slim and none. There's a very excellent chance the Dodgers will flip him, trade him before spring training. Andrew Friedman basically has alluded to it without directly saying it, saying that he had an open, honest conversation with Matt Kemp after the transaction, the trade was completed. So Matt is fully aware of what's going on, similar to Adrian Gonzalez, who is going to be a free agent if he's not already is in the Major League Baseball transaction world. So both these guys understood what this was about. This was about, number one, finances. And for the Braves, it opens up a spot for their top prospect in the outfield. Matt Kemp was blocking that player. But for all those that thought Matt Kemp was going to come back and play for the Dodgers, the chances of that, unfortunately, are not very good. And look, I'm a Matt Kemp fan. If you look back at his career with the Dodgers before he had the hamstring injuries, before he tore up his ankle on a play that really was his fault for not hustling in Washington, D.C., he was a really good player. I think we all forget about that MVP-type season, but he's not that player anymore, and he's not a center fielder anymore. He's not a right fielder anymore. He's a left fielder that doesn't play that position really well. So what do I see for the Dodgers? I could see them flipping him to a place like Tampa Bay, who basically is tearing down their franchise right now and needs players. I could see Matt Kemp being a DH for the Tampa Bay Rays, and Andrew Friedman knowing that system really well and knowing and having a great relationship with that front office, being able to pull off something where maybe they get one of the Rays' mid-level or even low to mid-level type prospect in exchange for a Matt Kemp type of deal. That's something that I think you should expect. The expectations and getting something big in return for Matt Kemp are not there. It's all about really getting that payroll flexibility for the rest of this season and also moving into next year and staying underneath that $197 million luxury tax threshold. One thing also we should keep in mind as far as this trade goes, so much was made about the Dodgers and their finances and all that, but I don't think it was celebrated enough what Adrian Gonzalez did for the Dodgers. Yes, did it end awkwardly? Of course it did. Did it end the ideal way? Of course it didn't. The one thing I will say for Adrian, his first hit as a Dodger was a home run. His last hit as a Dodger was a home run too. So in that respect, it's kind of full circle, but is that the way everybody wanted to see Adrian Gonzalez leave the Dodgers? No. But does it always end the way you want it to end for an athlete that's aging? Of course not. Steve Garvey ended his career with the Padres. Davey Lopes ended his career where? In Oakland. Dusty Baker, same thing, Oakland. Mike Piazza got traded and is in the Hall of Fame as a Met. So on and on it goes. It never works out for an aging baseball player. It's very rare circumstances where you see a guy stay with the same organization for his entire career. But what Adrian Gonzalez did for the Dodgers on and off the field, I don't think can be stressed enough. And like I said, did it end the way that we all wanted it to end for Adrian as a Dodger? No, but I think he left on good terms with the front office. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. When we come back, we'll hear from Chris Taylor. We'll check in with him. He is going to call in from Virginia Beach. So there is more off-season Dodger talk with David Vasse on AM 570 LA Sports. Welcome back to off-season Dodger talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Hope everybody's getting their Christmas shopping done. I'm not sure if our guest is doing that tonight, but he has taken some time out of the holiday season to join us. He became the breakout star for the Dodgers last year, along with Cody Bellinger, and that's the one and only Chris Taylor. CT, thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Did I catch you during some Christmas shopping?
No, I got most of that done earlier today, actually.
I know you're back in Virginia, right?
Yes, yeah. So it's later over here.
So how do you handle the Christmas shopping, and how do you handle Christmas? Do you have people come over to your parents' house? What goes on in the Taylor household?
Yeah. So I got all my Christmas shopping done today, which I'm pumped about. And yeah, we do, you know, just the family thing. I go over to my parents. Actually have all the cousins and aunts, uncles, everyone over for Christmas Eve dinner, and then we go to my grandparents on Christmas. So it's a good time.
Yeah, that's a big Taylor clan for Christmas.
Yeah, it is. I actually have a huge family, but luckily everyone lives in Virginia Beach. Everyone's local, so don't have to travel anywhere. It's pretty easy.
Speaking of traveling, a few of your teammates already have tied the knot this offseason. How many of these weddings have you been able to make it to?
The only one I've made so far is Justin Turner's, and it was a blast. We were down in Cabo a couple weeks ago, and I think maybe half the team was there. It was a really good time. You know, it was my first time in Mexico, actually, and had so much fun.
Yeah, that's a good one to pick, considering Alex Wood and Ross Stripling got married in Georgia and Texas, respectively. If I were going to choose one wedding, I think I'd choose the one in Cabo.
Yeah, it was a good time. They went all out, you know, and did a great job. Beautiful wedding, awesome reception. And like I said, that was like my first real vacation where I've actually traveled somewhere not for baseball. So I really enjoyed it.
What was it like to see your teammates in that setting and for so many of them, like you said, to show up to support Justin?
Yeah, I think it just shows how close our team is. You know, for him, not only for us to be there, but for him to invite almost the entire team and, you know, for that many people to come to a destination wedding down in Cabo, I think it shows how close we are and, you know, how much we enjoy spending time with each other, and the fact that so many people want to go down in Cabo and, you know, take a little vacation and spend time with their teammates, you know, I think it just shows how a close-knit this group is. And we've said it all year long. You know, we have that family-type environment in the clubhouse, and, you know, it's certainly, I think we definitely built on that that weekend.
Now that it's been more than a month since the World Series, Chris, have you had a chance to look back at the season and the one that you had and the way that your work really paid off to pay the dividends that it did?
Yeah, it's been pretty cool, you know, just having an opportunity to reflect on the year I had and, you know, coming back to my hometown and seeing the reaction of friends and family and how excited they are for me is really cool. Just let it all soak in a little bit. And, but at the same time, you know, I'm definitely motivated for next year, trying to get ready. And, you know, that bitter taste, we had in game seven, you know, a little fuel for the off season work that, I think all of us are going to put in to get ready and, you know, try to come out on top next year.
Do you think you ever get over losing game seven in the World Series, Chris?
No, I don't think that's ever something to get over. You know, I think, you know, hopefully we'll get back there and we'll be on the winning end in the near future. And, you know, that's probably the only way that, you know, you can even come close to getting over something like that.
That was such a great series, and I remember game one when you hit that home run off of Keuchel. You came back after you crossed home plate, and you shook your hands out. And I know fans were wondering what that was about when you were coming back to the dugout. What was the origin of that, and can you fill us in on the handshaking on the way back to the dugout?
Yeah, so that's just it started with a handshake me and JP started. You know, I think I had one game, I had like four hits, and I didn't hit one ball in the barrel of the bat. You know, like a broken bat hit, a swinging bunt, like a bloop single. And, you know, that was just like kind of the sign, like, you know, you just got like a stinger because you hit it off the end and you kind of shake your hands out. And then it just turned into, you know, that was about halfway through the year. And then every big hit after that, you know, I'd look at JT and just kind of shake my hands, and that just became a thing.
I don't think that was hit off the handles, that home run, though, Chris.
No, I wish I could say I didn't get all of that, but I did.
Chris Taylor is our guest, joining us from Virginia Beach, Virginia, during his Christmas holiday break. And, Chris, when you look back at the season, not only the season you had, but also your roommate, Cody Bellinger, I think everybody forgets where you started was not where you ended up. You both started in Oklahoma City, and you were roommates there. And when you both got called up to L.A., you continued to be roommates. What was it like for both of you this season, and what was it like to watch him have the success that he had?
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, just to see how the year started for both of us, you know, in AAA, you know, and not where either of us wanted to be, but, you know, we both got an opportunity very early, and we both capitalized, and it was really cool, you know, going from living together in Oklahoma City to living together in L.A. and eventually playing at the highest stage in the World Series. You know, both of us had really good years, and, you know, I knew all along how good Cody was going to be eventually. I didn't know how quickly it was going to happen. And fortunately, he got the opportunity, and, you know, he just ran with it. And it was so awesome to watch all his success and everything he did this year. You know, unanimous Rookie of the Year and all his achievements. It was definitely fun to watch.
I think I asked you this during the season, but maybe you can refresh the fans' mind about what it was like to be Cody's roommate. What type of roommate was he?
He's actually a pretty easy guy to live with. You know, we're both kind of laid back. You know, we're not going to rag on each other for doing the dishes or anything like that. I think it worked out well. I think we're supposed to live together again next year. So a pretty easygoing guy.
I know Corey Seager told me when he was living with Alex Wood and those guys during his rookie season, the one thing he didn't want to do was talk baseball in the house. Did you guys talk baseball away from the field?
Very rarely, if at all. Honestly, most of our conversation was around, like, Game of Thrones or whatever TV show we were watching at the time. We really didn't talk much baseball.
So how'd you like the way Game of Thrones went this season?
I loved it. I actually rewatched it with him. He had never seen it before. I got him on it, and we watched every season together. I had to stop and explain it to him quite a bit. But
I'm sure you did.
Yeah, but no, I had no problem rewatching it with him.
I know Stripling is a huge Game of Thrones fan, so now you got somebody else in that circle with you guys.
Yeah, we actually have a good group, quite a big Game of Thrones following in the clubhouse. We would always joke after games, you know, four more games till Game of Thrones, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I never heard that, but that's pretty great. Everybody was focused on their fantasy football teams, but I guess there was another section focused on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's how we got through the week, you know. Mondays were tough, you know, six more days, you know.
Chris Taylor is our guest. Loving this, Chris, and I think you're giving the fans out there a little peek into what your lives are about. You're not just robots that only are programmed for baseball.
We got a good group, and, you know, we keep things light, and, you know, we have a lot of fun.
Got to ask you, Justin Turner was, I wouldn't say forced to trim the beard, but he did trim the beard for the wedding, and he did cut the hair for the wedding. Can you give the fans out there what the update is on Chris Taylor's beard?
Pretty similar to what it was at the end of the year. You know, I don't change too much. I think I keep it pretty consistent. Every once in a while, I'll trim it down pretty short, but once it gets to a certain length, it bothers me too much. I can't take it anymore. I gotta trim it.
One other question we got in on Twitter from a fan is, will you keep the high socks look next year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. That's a good way to end the interview. You got the beard and you got the high socks. So everybody has that to look forward to. And hopefully we see those magic hands again a lot more during the season. Merry Christmas to you and your family out there, Chris. And thanks a lot for taking time out.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Dave. Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks, Chris. And that's really special for him to take some time out during that busy holiday schedule. You heard him say that he was finishing up his Christmas shopping and was able to finish it all this afternoon, which I know a lot of us still feel a little anxiety that we're missing a couple of presents before Sunday's Christmas Eve. And also, we can all breathe a sigh of relief when it comes to his beard and the high socks. They will both be back next year. 21 home runs, 72 RBIs, and 850 OPS in just 140 regular season games for Chris Taylor, who was so valuable in so many different ways, not only just offensively, but where he was able to play so many different positions when necessary. Filled in at third base, second base, shortstop, left field, center field. He was all over the diamond. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue, for our AT&T subscribers. We got some time before we take our second break of the hour, so let's go out to Diamond Bar. Marcos on our pound blue line. What's up, Marcos?
What's up, man? How are you? How's your vacation so far?
It's going good. I guess it's a vacation. I'm here with you every week, Marcos.
Yeah, I know, but I don't hear you every after every game. But the reason I was calling, Dave, is because we're getting a little too far ahead, I think, by looking at next year's players that are available. I think we came within one game of winning the World Series this year. We need somebody to help us this year coming up. And I was kind of thinking like a bat of some sort, you know, maybe like a J.D. Martinez, and see what you've heard about him. Because, you know, the upgrades we made at the All-Star break with you, Darvish, and Granderson, actually our record got worse in the second half with those two.
Yeah, well, Granderson didn't work out, but I would say you, Darvish, was much needed, Marcos, and I'm sure you were one of the fans out there that wanted the Dodgers to trade for you, Darvish, and I think it worked out pretty well.
Actually, I was not. I was. I called in, and I didn't want him to come. I was talking on July 12th about keeping this team intact because of the chemistry that we just heard Chris Taylor talk about. You know, when you bring in these guys from the outside and that didn't start spring training to try to finish off the season, I think it hurt our team going down the stretch. And I think the record tells it so. The batting went from 10 to 20 in the MLB. We were doing very well. Our pitching was number one the whole first half, and then we needed to upgrade pitching. I didn't understand that move.
Yeah, well, they did upgrade pitching, Marcos. And I don't think you could pin that all on Darvish, and I don't think you could pin the offense having a little bit of a dip. There was a bad month there, no doubt about it, in August. I think why you could pinpoint those numbers, Marcos, is when the Dodgers had that 21-game lead in August, they started to play some of their September call-ups in August.
Yeah, but what I mean is our pitching was number one.
They started to pitch some of those minor league guys that they called up in September, and that's going to skew your numbers at the end of the year. And also, yeah, Darvish had some hiccups that they ironed out before the postseason.
The hiccup in the World Series,
wasn't a hiccup. That was not, Marcos, that was not the hiccup I'm talking about. Those were two poorly pitched games. But what about the last 2 weeks of the regular season, and how about the postseason up until the World Series? He pitched pretty well.
Yeah, I know, but you don't get a guy that's a Dodger, you know what I mean? Like, the guy, like, after he left, he's talking about finding his passion again. We needed him to have his passion during the World Series. If you're lacking passion during the number one series of all the year that we face, then there's a problem with guys like that. We need to get a guy that has a heart that beats Dodger blue, like Chris Taylor. We stumbled upon him. How many more guys is in our farm system like that? You know, those are the kind of guys we need to get. The next year's shopping list, I don't want to hear about that right now. I want to hear about how we're going to get back to this World Series and win it with guys like Chris Taylor, Justin Turner. You know, even Kike came through, and then we lose Morrow. I mean, that's kind of, to me, it's a head-scratcher for me, you know?
Would you have given Brandon Morrow two more years with his injury history, Marcos?
I think he would have stayed for much less. He voiced that he
That's
wanted
not
to
true.
Stay with us.
Marcos, that is fake news. That is not true.
No, when he says I
this
really
was his chance. Yeah, if you would have paid him, he really would have wanted to stay. Thank you for the phone call, Marcos. Appreciate it. Let's go out to Brentwood. Gio, show me the money, Gio. You know what that's about out there in Brentwood.
Of course. We're over here. I'm two streets down from Rockingham, so I always think of you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Car chase coverage back in the day, Dave. So it's good times. Look, I really appreciate your insights, and I'm a little bit more level-headed than the average fan that calls in, but I do have a kind of a concern for next year. You know, do you think there's a chance? Because Kershaw, you got a taste of, like, what it was like to finally get to the World Series. We came a little bit short. If we don't kind of go all in at the trade deadline next year, do you think there's a chance he walks? Because he's only getting older, and I think maybe, you know, this next coming season might be his best shot to get it, because the Angels are getting better. Like, you know, everybody around us has got pretty – you know, improve this offseason. So
yeah, I don't think the Diamondbacks have improved. The Cubs are improving, and the Cubs are the team that's always going to be in the way of the Dodgers getting to the World Series for the foreseeable future, and they have gotten better. But, Gio, I know everybody thinks the biggest question surrounding Kershaw is whether or not he'll opt out at the end of next year. But for me, the biggest question is, will his back issue flare up again? We've seen the last 2 years that it really has hindered him, and he missed 2 months a couple of years ago. He missed 6 weeks, and when he came back, he wasn't the same guy that we saw before the injury. He pitched good and better than others, but it wasn't the same dominant Kershaw. So for me, before all that opt-out stuff comes up, for me, the biggest question is, how's his health, and will it hold up the entire year?
I agree. And that's what I kind of bring it up only because there's a chance he opts in if he does get hurt again, because teams might not want to take a chance and pay him $30 million if he won't finish the season.
Right.
But, the odds of maybe staying under the cap, I feel like we still probably have some contracts we'd like to shed to maybe acquire like an Archer at the deadline or before the season starts. I think maybe something like that can get us that next step. I think the last call was a little bit off. We didn't need offense in the World Series. We needed someone to kind of be that 1A.
Exactly. Exactly, Gio.
So, yeah. Okay. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Thanks for the phone call. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. We're going to take our final timeout of the hour, and we'll get back to more phone calls at 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Off-season Dodger Talk with David Vasse right here on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports.
I'll have a blue Christmas.
This used to play in my house every Christmas when I was a kid. My mom and dad were huge Elvis fans.
So blue.
Wow. It was like the big, it used to be a piece of furniture record player that we had in our house. And that used to be right on top for Christmas. Hope everybody is getting ready for Christmas. Hope everybody is getting set to spend time with family and friends. That's what it's all about. It's not about the gifts, because you'll be disappointed, trust me. I'm expecting underwear yet again from my mom this Christmas. I'm 41 years old and she still gives me new underwear. This is off-season Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock tonight. We had fake news dropped on Twitter tonight by Yu Darvish, who was refuting reports by Barstool Sports that said he signed with the Cubs a 4-year deal. Darvish went on to Twitter and tweeted out hashtag fake news. And the other news in Major League Baseball is not fake. UCLA Bruin Gerrit Cole with the Pittsburgh Pirates is set to go to New York. Reports are that the Pirates and Yankees are closing in on a deal that would send the right-hander from Pittsburgh to the Bronx. What a rotation that would be for the Yankees. Sonny Gray, Gerrit Cole, CC Sabathia, Luis Severino to go along with that offense. That's pretty formidable for the American League and the American League East. So the Yankees are closing in on yet another superstar. 866-987-2570 is the phone number, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. As you know, the Giants acquired Evan Longoria yesterday to play third base from the Tampa Bay Rays, which I told you a week ago was a signal that they were tearing down and rebuilding. That means that their relief pitcher, Coulomb, is definitely in play to be traded. Also, too, that means Chris Archer is in play to be traded. And his average annual salary is somewhere between $11 and $12 million. And in my opinion, if you have the opportunity to get a pitcher like Chris Archer, you better grab him, because there's not too many right-handed pitchers with his talent that can throw 200 innings and strike out 200 in a season. And that's exactly what he did last year. And I got to tell you, I was with the Dodgers when they went to Tropicana Field a couple of years ago. I don't know how those guys get motivated to play in front of 3,000 people in that dump of a stadium. So if you take Chris Archer from Tampa Bay and put him at Dodger Stadium in a sellout crowd and in a pennant race, don't you think his game would go to the next level? It's already at a very high level. It would go to another level. And don't you think Evan Longoria, even though his OPS was the lowest of his career and lower than some average players in baseball, yes, I know he's getting older, but don't you think his career is going to be reinvigorated by playing in front of a fan base that actually cares and shows up? 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Santa Clarita. Tony, you're on with David Vasse. What's up, Tony?
Hey, David, how about Kemp and Grandal for Archer, or a power-hitting second baser, and let Forsythe be the utility guy and bring in a home run-hitting second baser that has like 1 year left before he becomes a free agent, or they get Archer for Grandal and Kemp together?
I'm sure the Dodgers would love to trade Kemp and Grandal for Chris Archer. I just don't think the Rays would do it.
Is there a second base or power guy who has 1 year left before free agency that they could get?
Yeah, his name is Brian Dozier. He's going to be on the open market next year, Tony, and we'll see if the Dodgers still have as much interest as they had a year ago at this time in Brian Dozier. Thanks for the phone call. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Riverside. Fred, you're on with David Vassay on Offseason Dodger Talk. Hi, Fred.
DV, thank you for taking my call. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Listen, you almost stole my thunder there with getting me all fired up about Chris Archer, because I think he would be the perfect fit for the Dodgers. And trading Matt Kemp there, and I think our embarrassment of riches in the minor league system, we got enough resources to make that happen. I mean, looking at that firestorm going down in South Florida with the Marlins and that sale and the financial flexibility that they're trying to sell the fans over there, I think that's a nightmare scenario if you're a fan of that franchise. But it reminds me of where we were with Frank McCourt, and I want to thank Mark Walter and the ownership group to put us in a position to be competitive day in, day out, year in, year out. We've established ourselves back as a flagship franchise. And to look at guys like Mike Stanton and basically say,
hey, don't call him Mike anymore, Fred. He's Giancarlo.
All right, I'll call him Giancarlo. So to look at guys like Giancarlo and say thanks but no thanks, to look at guys like Bryce Harper to say, okay, maybe we'll take a look at that, I think speaks to the reputation now that the Dodgers are now a destination franchise. And I think that message as a fan, it fires me up, because I think we are on the cusp of building a dynasty, DV. As outrageous as that sounds, look at the guys that are on the roster. They've bubbled up through the minor league system. I have the luxury of going to Rancho Cucamonga and watching these guys develop, and the attitude, the mindset. These guys look professional. They know the expectations are high, and they love the fans. And I think together we're going to get over that hump, and we're going to build that sustainable culture of winning and have guys begging to come to L.A.
All right, Fred, thanks for the phone call. You should go work for the Dodgers with that kind of enthusiasm. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. It wouldn't be Christmas if we didn't say hello to our friend Isabel in Anaheim, not Buena Park anymore. Hi, Izzy.
Hey, David, how are you? Happy holidays to you and your family.
Thanks, Isabel. What do you think about the Dodgers?
Right now, you know, I just want them to get back to the World Series. You know, if we can get Harper next year, fine, but I agree with you. We can get some of the people too, I'll be fine with it. But, you know, I'm just worried about next year. I don't know what's going to go on next year. So anyway, can you put me on hold? I got to talk to Ronnie. So.
All right, Isabel, hold on. 866-987-2570, pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Lake Forest. Nick, you're on AM 570 LA Sports Dodger Talk. What's up, Nick?
Hey, Dave, how's it going? Happy holidays, man.
Happy holidays to you.
I just wanted to talk about Andrew McCutchen, possibly acquiring him. And the reason why I say that is because in the postseason, the thing that I saw that really impacted our game was base runners. I feel if we would have capitalized on stealing, we could have put our runners in a better position to score and get those runs that we needed to really finish off those games and finish off the World Series strong.
Hey, Nick, I'm with you. Andrew McCutchen is a winning player. The Pirates are about to trade Gerrit Cole, the anchor of their rotation, to the Yankees, and Andrew McCutchen is the face of that franchise. I'm not sure they're going to trade him during this offseason, but I can guarantee you that the likelihood of him being a Pittsburgh Pirate after July 30th is not very good. So if it's not now and the Dodgers decide they need some outfield help at the end of July, that would be one of the guys at the top of my list if he can continue what he did and show that he still has something left in the tank. So I'm with you on Andrew McCutchen. I've been singing his praises since last winter, and I know the Dodgers and Pirates did talk about a trade that would involve McCutchen, but they decided to stand pat with the guys they had. And luckily for them, they did. Puig had 28 home runs. Chris Taylor emerged to be the guy, and they gave opportunities to Jock Peterson and others in left field.
I think we should maybe even look at D. Gordon, you know. Derek Jeter's just getting that whole team out. So.
Yeah, D's in Seattle now, Nick. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. 866-987-2570. Pound blue for our AT&T subscribers. Let's go out to Gardena. Manuel, you're on the show before we say goodbye and so long to 2017. What's up?
Count, it is an honor, as always, to talk to you. Ronnie Saucio, God bless you and the fam. Merry Christmas to all Dodger country.
We only have 1 minute, Manuel.
I know. It's okay. I'm thinking we should go after that second baser, man, Brian Dozier. You know, the second baser.
But the Twins aren't going to trade him, Manuel. They're trying to go for it. They were right there.
Nah,
you're going to have to wait until next year.
I want to stock up on Chris Taylor, on Alex Wood, and just get a couple of bullpen arms. I'm good with that. I'm like Fred, man. Let's grow from within. Dodgers 2018, baby. Love you guys.
Thanks, Manuel. See, I believe you can grow from within and still win now. And the Dodgers have proven that. The goal is not to have the number one farm system in baseball America. The goal is to do what the Astros and Dodgers did, get to the World Series and win it. And I believe the Dodgers have set themselves up for all of that. The minor league system isn't just about having those players play for you at the big league level. The farm system is about not only having those guys that are really good stay with you and play for you, but also use those players as trade chips to get ready primetime players like a Chris Archer, who is only 29 years old and under team control for another 2 or 3 years when you need a right-handed starter. That's what the minor league system is also used for, and you saw the Dodgers do it at the trade deadline last year when they needed a starter. They got the best one on the market, and that was Yu Darvish. I don't care what any of you say. I took calls night after night, beginning after games in April, demanding the Dodgers make the trade for Yu Darvish. They did. I believe it was up and down. He wasn't as dominant as people expected him to be, but the Dodgers were able to get him back on track thanks to Rick Honeycutt, and they were able to make him a better pitcher with the information they had. They also did that with Tony Cingrani, by the way. So the World Series was a disaster for Yu Darvish, but I would say the second half was okay, and the playoffs were really good for him up until the World Series. And he has unique stuff that no pitcher in Major League Baseball has, and the Dodgers rolled the dice, and they were able to acquire him. That'll do it for off-season Dodger Talk tonight. In case you missed our conversation with Chris Taylor, you can podcast it at am570lasports.com. You can also see my interviews with DJ Peters and Jaron Kendall, who is the Dodgers' number one pick last summer. DJ Peters is on his way to AA and on the fast track to Dodger Stadium. Thanks to Ronnie Fazio and his young Padawan. Ed? Is that his name? Matthew, geez. His young Padawan, Matthew. Thank you for your help, guys. That'll do it. We'll talk to you in 2018, and I'll talk to you on Tuesday, filling in for Petros and Money at 2 o'clock. Have a great Christmas. See ya.